Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and I'm glad to be with you again. Hope that y'all are having a good week, good weekend starting here, and we got a lot to talk about today. A whole lot going on in North Carolina, in our country, around the world, and we aim to try to shine some light on some of it. Here in the studios today, we have Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
Hello.
Mary is author of RightWingGranny.com, a very good conservative blog where you can get a lot of news and facts at. And she provides you with the sources, so you don't have to take her word for it. You can go check it out yourself. Then we have another blogger over here, and that's Diane Ruffino.
Hello.
Diane was one of the founders of the Tea Party in Pitt County.
Eastern North Carolina Tea Party.
Yep. And she's also an attorney and a teacher and a
scientist and mother.
I used to try to keep track of it, but I lost track of it. Diane's blog is ForLoveOfGodAndCountry.com.
Yes.
And she writes some very good articles on our Constitution, our Founding Fathers, and Supreme Court, and other things of interest to conservatives. And then we have Rainer James with us. Rainer is author, puts together our page in the County Compass newspaper, and she does really good with that. She does a lot of other things, too, with CCTA. And beside her is her husband, Hal James.
Hey there.
Hal is chairman of CCTA. And I forgot to turn my phone off. There you go. He is also chairman of our vetting committee and chairman of our watchdog committee. Mm-hmm. He's a busy fella and provides us with a lot of interesting information and input.
I'd like to say something about Bob. Bob is CCTA's treasurer, and he's also a good research person. So if you need to get something done, checked out, and found out about it, he's your man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, could you
but find... I rely on Right Wing Granny.
I see you all talking back and forth, and you're kind of on a par with each other every now and then, but I will agree. She stays on top of a lot of things.
You mentioned writing, Rick, in this week's County Compass on your Coastal Carolina Taxpayers in Action page, there is a plea for people to consider joining us. We do a lot of good work. We could do a whale of a lot more if we had more members. And you don't have to do a ton of stuff. Every little bit helps. If you got time to do a ton of stuff, come on in. The water's fine.
All right. That sounds good.
So Bob, are you right-wing grampy?
Grandpa?
Gramps?
All right. Well, folks, if you're regular listeners, then you're already familiar with those entities that I just introduced. And I hope you are regular listeners because we appreciate you. We appreciate you for staying tuned in with us. And if you haven't visited our monthly meetings, they're held the third Tuesday of every month. They're free and open to the public. And we had a good one last night.
We sure did.
We did. Alan Harrop brought us a presentation on the climate change hoax.
And boy, is it a big one.
It is. And he brought some very interesting facts there.
You know what I found the most interesting?
What's that?
Is how opposite the situation with CO2 carbon dioxide right. is from how it's portrayed. They are acting like we need to get it down, down, down. Well, right now it's at about 400 parts per million, and things are going along all right. Plants are growing fine and so on. But if it drops below 150 parts per million, plant life will die, and it won't right. take long for people to die, too, as a result. It has been as high as 2,000 parts per million, and the higher it is, in fact, he one study showed that if it went up another 300 points in terms of parts per million, that food production would go up approximately 50, just under 50%.
Yep.
So it's not a problem. It's an opportunity, and we need to increase it. So bring on more fossil fuels. Burn, right. baby, burn. Dig, baby, dig.
We all need another to breathe good thing more.
Is that, right, that's that meeting was that Bob brought in drinks and things like that, and Mary brought in nice desserts type of things. And so that's another thing they do is they help us out with that, and appreciate that so much.
I mean, right. keep feed the cows some beans, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, getting back to Alan's topic last night, he did bring out a lot of interesting facts. One is he reminded us that Al Gore, who has become quite wealthy on this climate change hoax, only took one science class in college.
And got a D in it.
Yes, he got a D in that. But he's an expert.
Well, what is that book he wrote, Inconvenient Truth?
Inconvenient yeah. Truth.
Right.
And the one referenced last night was Inconvenient
Facts.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Good book.
One of the things that was interesting to me, because I am not a scientific type at all, I got through physics by the skin of my teeth. But when he talked about the fact, you know, the sea levels, we're being told, the sea levels are going to rise 400 feet and Miami and New York are going to be underwater.
Yeah.
Couldn't happen to a nicer city. But anyway,
and
under
he ice.
Pointed out that when you put ice in a glass and the ice melts, the water level doesn't change.
No, it doesn't.
It's because the weight has to displace the same amount of weight in water. So there's
there's the physics person, the stuff that I totally didn't get. But it was,
chemistry too.
Most of us don't think about that. And I can guarantee you that at least 70% of Americans just assume that when the ice melts, the sea levels rise.
Right.
Because if you don't think about it, that makes sense.
Right. I know one congresswoman who's bound to.
Well, speaking of things that could happen in New York, I think he mentioned that in the ice ages, it was something like, 1,200?
Two miles thick ice.
Over.
New York.
It's interesting that the former president bought waterfront property when he believes that the sea is going to rise 400 feet.
Right. Now, he did also point out that those are the polar caps and all the ice there, the icebergs, all that. Which it is true. If it's in the water and it melts, it's still going to be water and it's not going to rise. The glaciers, however, if they melt, they are on land.
Yes, so that water is different going, situation.
That water is going to run off into the oceans, which would. But science now shows recent studies that the glaciers are enlarging. They're expanding.
And there's also the fact that when they've dug into Greenland's glacier, they found evidence of plant life, which tells you that glacier has not been there forever. There have been times when Greenland was growing crops.
All right.
That's why they named it Greenland, really. Yeah. When it was discovered, it was during a warm time.
One of the points that he made that I thought was really, really neat is that there have been about 9 known periods when there was an ice age followed by a warming trend. And there's a rough pattern, give or take, that pretty well matches, that has repeated itself over thousands of years. So to think...
Millions of years.
Right. So this is nothing new.
No, this isn't new.
This isn't strange. It's much more... It's a very, very slow evolutionary kind of process that's part of the design.
Part of the design, absolutely. God created the heavens and the earth, and he created the seasons, and everything runs in cycles.
Yeah. And it changed back and forth. long before man ever appeared on the earth and started driving SUVs.
Right.
Or even could harness fire, for heaven's sakes.
A lot of volcanic activity on the planet. One volcano eruption can put more into the atmosphere than man has since he's been on the earth.
You know, I'd like to point out that nobody's looking at notes here. So, you know, we have internalized a lot of what Alan Harrop told us.
We listened to Alan, yes. And he laid it out in a very logical sequence. He was a beautiful speaker.
Made it understandable.
Yes.
Very, and he had very good information and a very good presentation with that. Well, that's a sample of what we do with our public meetings. And we will definitely have Alan back because he wrote a paper on the global warming fiasco there, or climate change, however you want to, whatever you want to call it. He also wrote some other papers on immigration, and I can't recall the topics, but we will have him back to speak on other
and
topics.
And I'm hoping he will let me use some of it on our page in the County Compass, too.
Yeah. Another thing I'd like to mention about it is we instituted a telephone tree system of calling people that they used to attend our meetings and haven't been there in a while, and we had a lot of them there last night, and that was very comforting to me. I mean, it wasn't a huge crowd there, but there were a lot of new faces there, so I thought that was really good. And then we had a few people come by that are running for office and wanted to introduce themselves to us and things like that too.
All right, and we picked up a couple of new members. Okay, well, we're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors. I'd like to remind you to please stop by and visit them and say, hey, we heard about you on CCTA Wake Up Call.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com. Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on around the state. Let's see here. We had a budget veto override. The governor had vetoed the budget, and the House of Representatives has voted to override that veto, and now we're waiting to hear from the Senate, and hopefully they'll do the same thing.
Apparently, the budget override in the House was on the schedule almost every day.
Right.
Since the governor did a veto.
Well, you know they cheated.
There was a whole lot of hoopla about it, you know.
It's funny that that's been used before when the other party was in the majority. There wasn't anything said. There was no big deal then. But now, all of a sudden, they cheated. They broke the rules. Everything they could, wrong.
I can't source this. I don't remember where I heard it or who told me this. But
then it's hearsay.
Whatever. But I was told that because of the structure of the House, when it was called for a vote, had the Democrats left the floor,
yes,
they wouldn't have had a quorum.
Yes.
Well, the Democrats didn't leave the floor. Now, I don't know whether they were unaware of that or whether whatever, but the Democrats were in a very interesting position. Governor McCrory, I am told.
Who, McCrory?
I'm sorry, Cooper? Governor Cooper, I am told, uses very strong-arm tactics,
yes,
to keep the Democrats in line. So the Democrats were coming to a point where they were going to have to vote for something that they knew was going to be a campaign issue and work against them. It was to their advantage to let that override go,
yes,
without being on the record, absolutely, as having voted one way or the other.
Yeah. Mary, that thought had crossed my mind, too, for the same reasons you just mentioned. There were a bunch of them that apparently were in the same place, a discussion about another topic to do with
they were
the
actually
lines.
Doing something illegal because that's supposed, right, to be done bipartisan in the public eye.
But
that was by court order. They was supposed to be done by
supposed to be done in public.
Yeah,
but they were doing something that wouldn't get them necessarily in trouble with,
yes,
Cooper, and they were not in the chamber when the vote came. And I think that thing that it was it said to be a no vote session was trumped up, frankly.
And then they tried to use the excuse that they were at a 9/11 ceremony.
Yes, yes.
And further investigation showed only one was attending a
actually,
ceremony.
Actually, I think Cooper was there, and when he was asked about it, before he knew what he should have said from a strategic point of view, he told the truth, and he said, oh, they weren't there.
Additionally, from Representative Keith Kidwell, mm-hmm, as Mary had said, yes, if the Democrats had left the floor, they wouldn't have had a quorum. If the Democrats had called for a discussion, they would have had time to bring in enough other Democrats close by to not allow an override.
So isn't it interesting that those things taken together enable some people to not vote on it and get the result that they would perhaps like to have because it was good for their districts and certainly didn't want to go on record as voting against.
But before we started the recording, we were having a conversation about the budget, and our legislative action chairman, Diane Ruffino, was going over some of the things with us would be included in the budget if it should pass. And I sort of, hearing all of that, I decided I'd hope they hit an impasse and it doesn't.
Yeah, why don't you tell us about that, Diane?
Sure. And then I'll tell you about how this vote actually went down because it's a pretty interesting story. It's in an article I just wrote today, and I'll post it tonight when I go home. But in the section about the education, because the budget includes pay increases for teachers and for non-certified employees, all that kind of stuff. Well, if you go to the education section, this budget includes dumbing down the criteria for our public school system. So we are currently on a 10-point system, and now it goes to a 15-point system. So an 85 and higher, you're an A. You are passing, you're considered passing and competent if you have a 50 or higher. So I don't understand why teachers are getting a raise when they're being relieved of an obligation to actually teach. Because, you know, if they have to score a 91 or higher to get an A, you really have to teach the material for them to understand.
Right.
And you have to know different strategies to teach so that every student in your class is able to understand. You give them more latitude and they can pass by getting a 50 or higher. You don't really have to really stress them learning. You just have to have a vague understanding enough to do a 50, right? So that's
more money for less work.
Yeah,
how nice.
It's, you know, this was a Candy Smith, a Democrat from Pitt County. This was her initiative. When I read the bill, I said, this can't go anywhere. Who would want to intentionally dumb down the students in North Carolina at a time when we're building our reputation as having a great business climate? We're trying to make a name for ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not the lower, you know, echelon of states. We're in the upper echelon now. But, you know, it escapes me why they would do something like that. But as far as this vote, they had read in, so Speaker Moore was away from Raleigh. So Representative David Lewis was acting speaker.
Oh.
So the day before, he read in two bills that were going to be taken up for vote at 8:30 in the morning. Representative Jackson, Darren Jackson, went to him and says, oh, Democrats aren't going to be prepared for those new bills. Can you give us extra time so they can read it? I think in the back of his mind, they knew they were going to be looking at maps for the redistricting. So then Lewis said, all right, I'll give you to the afternoon. We'll vote on those bills in the afternoon. Well, Representative Jackson assumed that means there's no votes in the morning. But he just meant only those two bills because these are new bills, right? You need time to understand those bills.
So that part of it was a real misunderstanding when the Democrats announced that it was to be a no-vote
Jackson
session.
Jackson blames himself because he went to the Democrats and say, no session on, you don't have to be there at 8:30. But if you look at the calendar, which tells the representatives what they're going to be expected to vote on, the bills were there and 8:30 was the time for a session. Just because it was, they're not going to vote on those two bills, the calendar, anything on the calendar is up for vote. And anything that was needed some more votes or needed some action can always be brought back up because they're always on the calendar. It's all business, but they're still on the calendar. So Jackson messed up and he blames himself. But the point is, Mary, you were right. And Keith Kidwell told me this and Larry Pittman told me the same thing, is they had two options. The Democrats were crying, I will not yield, I will not yield. You heard Debbie Butler or whatever screaming from the House floor. But they had the option of either leaving the chamber and then the magic number 61, they would not have had the quorum they needed because only 55 Republicans showed up. They have 65 members, only 55 were there that day. They could have left, leaving one Democrat there just to challenge and say, no quorum, make sure nothing's done. Or they could have called for order or called for a debate and they get 5 minutes each and they could have used their time and then other stall tactics while they text, because they knew their members were in the building. There was like a floor below. Get them in the chamber, then do things right. But you're right, they didn't do that. And I believe, and in my paper I wrote the same thing, is they probably did not want to.
Used it as cover.
Because now Cooper can't really blame them because they will, you know, gee, we meant to be there. It was just a simple error. They go home to their districts and their you know, constituents will benefit from the pay increases and all that kind of stuff in the bill. So it's a win-win, really. They don't get punished, yet they get the benefit. That's how it went down. They always, Speaker Moore had told them many times, anything that's on the agenda, anything on the calendar, it's whether it's old or not, I could always bring up. And he promised, he goes, I will bring that budget override up. So they knew.
Yeah.
They knew.
Well, that was a good move, I guess. So let's take a break to hear from our sponsors. When we come back, we'll talk about what else is new in the state.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Daggone it, there is something else new here in North Carolina. We've got two new congressmen.
Wow. Darned if we don't.
We did. And, you know, there's a lot of money being poured into North Carolina is being considered a swing state.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a whole lot of effort, a whole lot of money being poured in here to try to take it further left, make it a blue state, and bring in more liberal agendas.
Yep.
And I got to say, I'm glad the election went the way it went. Both of these gentlemen ran as conservatives. Hopefully they will live up to that. And
Rick, the opponents also ran as conservatives.
Yeah, well, evidently they didn't run as conservative enough, evidently.
They didn't have the backing of the conservative party.
But it's interesting that when it came down to trying to unseat the Republicans in North Carolina, the Democrats chose conservative candidates. They didn't try to do it with the kind of candidates that are currently running for president.
Mm-hmm. Mary, I think the reason is that Eastern North Carolina particularly is well known to be a conservative area. And in fact, after the election was over, I talked to a few Democrats who were saying they thought it was about time to switch parties. And I said, well, Jason Jones led the way, you know.
Yeah, it's nothing stopping you but taking the time to go down and do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the reason a lot of people voted for the Republicans this time is because although the Democrats may be conservative Democrats and they may be attractive candidates, at the end of the day, when they go to D.C., and we've seen this time and time again, is you could be a conservative Democrat, but the Democrats will make sure you vote with their party, with their agenda. You could be conservative, but you go against them. You don't vote with a block. There's consequences to play.
Right.
So that's, they know that. They know
that's
that.
Right. And I serve as a judge at the polls, and I've been in a rural part of the county for the last few years because they just couldn't get anybody else there. Mm-hmm. And usually the rural areas mm-hmm. are Democratic. Mm-hmm. And every time I'm there, you know, it's pretty much Democrats that come in and vote. I was surprised at the end of the election when we tallied the votes that the Republican won. And only by really? Two votes, but it was a big change. So that told me a lot about what's going on.
Yeah.
Well, I was working at the Township 7 Firehouse, you know, the polling place there. And I know right many of the Democrats, and a lot of them came in and said they were voting our way this time.
Right. Yeah. You know, some people may accuse us of being partisan and talking bad about Democrats a lot of the time, but it's not all Democrats, because there are a lot of
yes.
good people that have been Democrats for several generations, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a family thing with them. And the whole problem is it's not the same Democratic Party.
No.
That it
they
was.
Themselves are, but the party's walked away from them.
Right. So when we say Democrats and Republicans, yeah. please don't take it the wrong way. We welcome all people to our meetings. We're nonpartisan. You're welcome to come. You have a voice there. You'll be given a chance. And as long as you're civil and everything, you behave yourself, we'll listen to whatever you've got to say. And we hope you'll give us the same courtesy and listen to what we've got to say.
I want to go back to the beginning of this conversation when you mentioned that we've got two new elected congressmen, Dan Bishop and Greg Murphy, of course.
The Senator and our House member.
Yeah. One of the interesting things about the election itself to me was the fact that Greg Murphy had, in the audit done by Beth Woods, who is a Democrat, against his Democrat opponent, had brought forth some information about money that had gone missing in Global Transpark's books.
That's Alan Thomas. You're talking about Alan Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there was, that I heard, and I followed proceedings pretty closely, I didn't hear a peep out of him being Greg Murphy, about this thing that had been uncovered by his opponent. He behaved in a very gentlemanly way, and I think that kind of behavior is something that is deeply appreciated in Eastern North Carolina.
Yeah, but it wasn't like that when he was going against the other GOP candidates.
Speaking of Beth Woods, nice I'd like to jump in here because I've heard that she is a good auditor. She's audited apparently the North Carolina Health and Human Services people, and has found $700,000 worth of discrepancies that she's trying to investigate.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talking about the candidate and the Global Trans Park. Mm-hmm. Now we were at a meeting where he came Alan Thomas had come as a guest, mm-hmm. and he was trying to explain it because he was head of the Global Trans Park for only a very short period of time, and there were many, many other people there that he could blame. I mean, that was his quick excuse. What I wanted to go back to was when we were talking about the various candidates and party affiliation or whatever else. Right here in Craven County, we had Jason Jones, who was one of the commissioners, yeah. that had to publicly say he was changing party mm-hmm. representation because he could no longer go along with the philosophy that he was brought up with.
Yeah.
When he was on the
Board of Commissioners before this time, there was a gap in service when he didn't run. When he was on the Board of Commissioners before, he was a Democrat. And Hal and I conversed all the time about he was the most conservative person on the board, and that included several Republicans.
Yes, yes.
And a Democrat that I talked to recently that was considering switching parties said that he didn't want to make a big deal of it. He'd just rather have it quietly done that he did it. So,
all right. Well, there's evil in both parties. And
Yeah, unfortunately, but yep. so.
All right. But it's what we've got to work with, so
That's why it's so important to vet the candidates, right?
Yeah.
Vet them. Don't listen to their stump speech. You ask them questions, and you try to figure out what their intuition is. Right?
Look at it.
Right. Exactly.
And folks, that's why it is so important for you to get involved in the process and to educate yourself on the process. Educate yourself on the people involved in the process, the candidates and their campaigns. Make sure you've got the facts and you know what's going on.
Unfortunately, it takes at least 20 years to establish a new political party. And the sad part of it is there's no guarantee if we could establish strictly a conservative party that shared our beliefs that it would be any less corrupt than what we have now.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd like to think it would. But people are people. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect.
Yeah, what's that saying? Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yes.
But we do have a conservative party here in Craven County. I recognize, and they've got a few votes. But
well, in the state of North Carolina.
Yes,
you mean Constitution Party.
I mean Constitution Party. I beg your pardon. Yeah. I'm sorry. I made a misspoke.
But it's not a major party, and I don't know what it would take for the conservative ideas to be put in one party, and I'm not even sure that they belong in one party. Mm-hmm. I think we're better off scattered
throughout
both parties.
Well, Mary, the bulk of the Republican platform is very conservative.
That's
and
true.
Yet there are people who have an R after their name that don't vote along those lines, scarcely any.
Well, let's
and
look.
There are people with a D after their name who are conservative and vote conservatively.
That's why vetting candidates and following
But when they get to where their house, in like the North Carolina House or the U.S. House, then they're under a lot of pressure to toe the mark from their leadership.
True. And look what we've got now. If you look at the statistics, the largest number of new registrations and people changing parties is going unaffiliated.
Absolutely.
Unaffiliated, because they're fed up with both parties. And what they want to do, and what I suggest all of you do, is carefully examine the candidate, not the party they're associated with. Don't go in there and vote a straight ticket.
Except, Rick, one of the things that you need to take into account is the fact that they will get pressure from whatever party they're in. So that needs to be one element considered.
All right.
Speaking of the meeting last night, there was a fellow there that said that we really needed the CCTA's influence across the district, because we could help determine who the best candidate is during a primary.
Right.
Now, when you go to the vote in a primary, you got to draw one ticket, you know, the one that you're registered with.
Yeah.
So I thought that was very astute, and I really did appreciate that compliment for CCTA, because I do think that's a great function that we do. We're unaffiliated, but we try to, we have our vetting committees, and we have other means of trying to determine who is the most likely to stay a conservative person if they get elected.
Right.
And we've screwed up on that a couple of times. But
what's this we?
Well, you know what I mean.
I'm just joking. Okay, we need to take another break real quick. Hear from our sponsors. We'll come right back.
In a time when personal responsibility is being mocked and minimized, who's really responsible for your safety and security? Who's really readily available to provide protection for you and your loved ones? Law enforcement is not always going to be there when you need that safety most. Are you prepared to keep you and your family safe and secure? I'm Randy Seiler, owner and instructor for Responsible Security, LLC, and I invite you to be that person, to be the responsible one. Contact me at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com so you can be better trained, safer, more secure, responsible. At Responsible Security, LLC, I provide personal firearms and security training for a variety of skill levels. Currently, classes are available for obtaining a North Carolina concealed carry handgun permit and for advancing your personal firearms skills. Remember, your safety and security depends on you first. Visit ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com to learn more and sign up for a class so you can be better prepared to meet your responsibilities.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Man, I was just scanning the headlines here while we were on a break. And, you know, we were talking about the climate change, the speaker we had. And here's this headline jumped out at me. NBC News. Ask Americans to confess their climate change sins. I'm going to have to ponder on that one for a while so I can figure out what they are. But then, this one, there's hope for me. Yes, this is a great headline here. Scientists develop groundbreaking brain implant.
Well, I heard about that. They think it might help people who are blind to be able to see eventually.
It's not an actual brain? Because there's a couple of craniums we could put in.
They put something in the brain that will interpret light. So it goes, you know, some light comes in. Just in its very elementary stages. But it is, I think, a ray of hope because that's where most big discoveries happen. Now, they've discovered that they can put something in the brain that will allow a person who is blind to see a shaft of light come in.
The other parts in their glasses. Yeah.
I'd like to see some brains that we can put into people's heads.
Total brain implant.
A whole brain.
We have a niece that has Parkinson's disease, and they've put some kind of a device in her brain to stop the tremors. Before she was diagnosed at like age 35, and before she was diagnosed, she's a very gifted concert pianist, and as the disease has progressed, she's in her 40s now, she had to give up that. She couldn't play the piano anymore. And they did this implant thing in her skull, which controls the tremors, and she's back to playing the piano.
Wonderful. Oh, my gosh.
What a miracle. Well, they've made great advances, but I'm disappointed because when it said brain implant, like you, Diane, I thought the whole brain was coming.
Is that right? Yeah, I don't think that's what they meant, Rick.
I'll have to research that further.
While you were talking about meetings, I wanted to mention at the God and Country Banquet recently.
Oh, that was a great one.
Oh, it was really good. And I was so proud that Norman Sanderson got recognized. You know, he's been a longtime member of CCTA and at one time was vice chair of the CCTA. He didn't continue on to become chairman. Michael Speciale was the chairman at that time, and he went on to become a senator and didn't take on the chairmanship. But anyway, I just felt very much a part of it. You know, we had our own CCTA table. Actually, there were two tables with a lot of CCTA members there. So, and it was Judge Newby. He was the MC, and he always does a wonderful job. And of course, every candidate you can imagine was there to tell you about how the person you ought to vote for and things like that. So, altogether, the meal was good. It was just really a nice meeting.
And it was really good to see that many Christian politicians, elected officials, and to hear their testimonies and why they're serving in public service. And
Pastor
that, That's what Norm received was the Servant's Award.
Right.
That triggered a memory, a CCTA memory. In 2011, I was chairman, and we decided to institute public meetings at which there were speaker. Norm had just been sworn in that first meeting of that year. We had him as our first speaker, and we had about 50 people attend, which was the most we had ever had at that point in time, and Norm brought him in.
Good. All right, let's switch gears and move on to national headlines. How about Kavanaugh?
Poor guy. Poor guy. Can't get a break.
They never give up, do they? He can't get fair play.
He doesn't need a break. He just needs fairness.
Well, he and his family should sue all these accusers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was it libel? Is that the print?
I think the president suggested that also.
Intentional infliction of emotional distress. And this, right. That's exactly what's happened to him and his family.
But as long as there's no penalty for false testimony, it will continue.
So let's bring on the penalty.
Why hasn't that prior liar in chief?
That's perjury.
Why has that not been prosecuted?
The interesting part of that story to me, there was an article on September 4th in Town Hall magazine, and it was an interview with Christine Blasey Ford's lawyer. She said, and I'm quoting, "Okay, fine. Protecting abortion was part of why she accused Kavanaugh."
Mm. What?
Oh, my God.
She's on the record as having said this.
Yeah. So what,
because they're afraid that Roe versus Wade is going to come up, and they want an asterisk next to his name if he rules against abortion. That's twisted. The end does not justify the means. That is what this is about. And they have admitted that.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is, our former vice president and current presidential candidate made the statement, what do you want, the truth or the facts?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they don't want either one.
They should coincide.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask our lawyer, Diane, over there, isn't there some sort of a law that protects public figures, even this wouldn't apply in this case?
Now, public figures have the least amount of scrutiny.
Well, no, that's what I mean.
The only thing they cannot do is knowingly and intentionally put a false statement out. So if they have any reason to believe that the statement is false, and if they still go ahead and use it, that's the only standard that they can be held liable for.
But the so-called victim said she doesn't remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well.
But they have that lawyer that used to work for Bill Clinton during the Monica Lewinsky, who said he was an eyewitness at that party. I mean, that's strange how it always happens to go back to the Clinton. It used to be, 7 degrees separated from Kevin Bacon. And now it's all these degrees separated from the Clintons. But only this guy says he was an eyewitness. He saw it. All of the victim, she doesn't remember. She has no recollection.
And her friends.
None of her friends have any recollection of it. So it's very suspect. And even there is someone else, there's another person who said that Blasey Ford's lawyer, I forgot who it was.
She was a friend, and this was about the original charges.
Yeah.
And she said she didn't remember anything that Ford had talked about, but she was pressured by Ford's lawyer to give testimony.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm not sure she did. I don't think she came forward.
This wasn't the same party that this allegation was made, right?
No, this is a different party.
No, different. Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on. We all agree that's a travesty, and it's just a terrible thing happening to him. And we hope that the truth will prevail there. We're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors. I'd like to remind you to please stop by and visit them.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years.
Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. How many people watched the impeachment hearing?
Corey Lewandowski?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I watched it.
You did?
Yep.
Wasn't it fun?
I was very proud of Corey. I thought he did a great job, and they tried really hard to make a fool out of him, and he didn't try real hard to make a fool out of them because it was easy to make a fool out of them.
And he did a good job.
And
he did it with humor.
He did a great job at it. You know,
Sheila Jackson Lee. Oh, and there's one for you.
It's funny how they demand. You know, I'm sitting here. I'm asking the questions. You better respect me. I'm on this committee. But they don't show the same respect to, you know, someone of Corey Lewandowski's stature or anybody's stature that's involved with the government. And I just think decorum should require everybody treats one another with due respect.
But here's the thing. He had already given hour after hour after hour of testimony before Mueller and the other investigations that were going on.
Yeah.
What new could he say? Yeah. And they had the Mueller report. They had everything he said there. And he would say, I think what's in the report is accurate, you know. But they were trying to pin him down as a liar.
No, as an obstructionist.
Did
you see that?
Yeah.
Because if he didn't answer the question the way they want it, you're not answering the question. I answered the question. No, you're not answering the question. Answer the question. I answered the question. Let me read again. No, you're not answering. You're obstructing. And I heard them say
in
it a
one case
times.
He said, I didn't hear a question.
Yeah. Is there a question in any of this? Yeah. But that's what they were trying to do because they wouldn't answer. So they thought they knew better. So he's living up to the privilege that Donald Trump can exert as the executive, as the president. It's legal. It's everybody's done it. And they should know that. So when he thinks that something's trampling on something that's protected under privilege, he read, I cannot go into this. And for some of them, there was one guy, I forgot who he was, but I think he was a candidate one time. That's not an answer. Who is he to tell him what the proper answer is,
right.
You know? And then he would say, it's not an answer. You're obstructing.
And I think it's interesting now. Let's look at this. Donald Trump was not a politician. He's never held public office. He's going into the highest public office that there is.
Mm-hmm.
He's bound to make some mistakes because he's not familiar with all what's right to do and what's wrong to do.
But boy, is he a quick study.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to say is he might do something unintentionally.
Right.
And then find out, okay, you can't do that.
Right.
But they're not even going to give him the benefit of the doubt. No, they never will. They've already convicted him in their minds, and they're ready to go ahead and pass judgment and sentence him. And it's just ridiculous.
It's a witch hunt. That's what he should have. They should have used that word many, many, many times in that hearing. And I wish Lewandowski at one point, when they claim this investigation or this hearing, he should have mean witch hunt. And just throw it out there, because that's what it is. And everybody knows that's what it is.
Mary?
While we're talking about this witch hunt, which is what it is, Judicial Watch posted something today about a man named Felix Sattar. Anybody heard of Felix Sattar?
I recognize
the name, but I can't place it.
Judicial Watch is trying to get through the Freedom of Information Act information on this guy's, you know, the emails and texts, etc., because it appears that he was placed in the Trump campaign by the FBI and the DOJ as an informer.
A leaker, too?
And they tried to get him, they tried to get him to push the Trump campaign into some kind of a deal, of financial real estate deal with Russia, so that they could come back and entrap Trump in it.
But that's entrapment. That's illegal. Anything that happens as a result of that is not a crime. I mean, it's entrapment.
I know, but you could have a lot of fun with the press.
Oh, they'll convict him anyway. Okay, well, that's great. We've covered a lot of territory. Oh, one last thing came out today. What Trump did today?
He went to the wall.
No, not that one.
What?
Declassifying everything to do with the FISA.
Yeehaw!
That's great.
Yes. He's ordered all those documents declassified.
I think there's some very soiled underwear right now in the
Cool, Diane.
That's one way to put it.
Do we need to start sending boxes of tissues to some of these
people? There's going to be some very interesting investigations going on and trials that I guess the shoe's going to be on the other foot.
Now, is it immediately going to be made available, or does it have to go through the Attorney General, which is what things have had to go through before?
I couldn't tell you.
It probably has to go through the Attorney General.
I heard it on the radio report, breaking news.
Okay, so maybe it'll take a while, but it's on the way.
Right.
On the way is good.
And it's probably still going to require Judicial Watch to actually get the stuff out there.
They are doing some wonderful work.
Tom Fitton and Judicial Watch, they are, you know, if you've got some money you want to donate to a conservative cause, that's the place to send it.
Now, because
they're getting things done.
I'm going to catch you on that.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't consider them a conservative cause. They go after Republicans and Democrats. They go after any corruption in government.
Right.
Well, that's a good place to be.
Yeah. Yes, it's a very good place to be. But there are a number of administrations that have hated Judicial Watch.
Right. And they've been very successful in all their Freedom of Information Act requests, FOIA requests. They've been uncovering a lot of things that haven't been uncovered.
And there's a court in Washington that's been helpful to them because they've had to sue in addition to the Freedom of Information Act.
We've all probably gotten it, but I sent them a little bit of money when they sent a request to do with that.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's all the time we've got for today's show. we covered a lot of territory. I think there's a lot left that we could have covered. We just didn't have time to get to
it. Can we do a two-hour show?
I want a two-hour show. That'd be fun.
We'll have to look at that. Well, welcome everybody again for tuning in and joining us. And I want to encourage you to go to our website, cctaxpayers.com. There you can find out all you need to know about CCTA. And hope you'll take in some of the information to decide to join us. Come back again next week, same time, same place, right here on 107.1 WTKF, CCTA Wake Up Call.
Have you got a topic you'd like to hear discussed on CCTA Wake Up Call? Well, then contact us at cctaxpayers.com or email hal@cctaxpayers.com. That's hal@cctaxpayers.com. We're a conservative talk radio show, but we value your opinion and would love to have you join us. Again, contact hal@cctaxpayers.com.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Also, the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties, Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue. Tune in for the CCTA Wake Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.